Very good evening, and I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is or was the richest family ever lived on this earth? Do you know what the answer is? The richest family who ever lived on this earth has to be Noah. He owned the whole earth. When God asked him to open the door of the ark after the flood, God simply asked him, replenish the earth, multiply, fill it. You can live in any part of the world. You can own any part of the world, and it is free of charge. You don't have to pay anything. You want to live by the coast? You have it. You live on a mountaintop, in a plain, anywhere, any continent, it's yours. Why was it free of charge? Because they were the only families. The reason why things on earth cost money, in inverted commas, is because there are other people who also want what you want. If nobody wants what you want, that item is worthless. About 5 years ago on Craigslist, there was this Corvette. You know, very expensive car. It's a very old car. And this person wanted to sell it on Craigslist for $700 US 5 years ago. Nobody wanted it. Nobody bought it. But today, someone found out that this was a very, very rare old car. And it is worth at least between $3 to $7 million US. And so if that person 5 years ago had bought this car, he would now be a very, very rich man. So the world says. And that's why this had become news. And that's why they put it on the internet. A $700 car, people look at it, it's old, it's run down, it doesn't drive, the engine is dead, it's rusty. But because of its history, it was one of three cars that had been used by a very famous racer, and he won this race using one of these three cars. And this happened to be the number one. Number two and number three are already found and already owned by somebody else. And so this number one car that had been used on a kind of a rally, 24-hour race, non-stop. And so they rotate between three cars, and this happened to be number one. And so now it is worth a lot of money to some collector somewhere on planet Earth. You look at this world of ours. What kind of value does it really have? True value. How do you measure true riches? What in your estimation is true riches? Remember that our life on this earth, all of us, no exception, is limited by time. It used to be a person was able to live up to 800-900 years. But when God saw what the world was like, allowing man to live 800-900 years on this earth with a sinful nature, he brought chaos to this world. And that was revealed to us in Genesis 6. And God said, I have to destroy this world in order to make sure that my plan of salvation for mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ will succeed. And so God wiped out the earth and gave man a new beginning through the family of Noah. But this time, God will cut down man's life on this earth by tenfold, 70 years, and by reason of strength, add another 10 more years. But man, by the invention of medication and many other new forms of healthy life, healthy living, they want to go beyond the age of 80. But no matter how they try to stretch it, very few will pass the age of 100. So much so that when you see your son or your daughter celebrating their 10th birthday, please be reminded, your son, your daughter, have only 7 decades on earth. He had just completed one. He has 6 more decades left. And then after that, it will be the end. Now, this is life. And because of this brevity of life, it simply tells us that our time here on earth, for that reason alone, the shortness of it, it's precious. Very precious. And every day you have is very precious. And every hour and minute that you have for the day is precious. And how you spend it will reveal how precious it is to you. If you spend it in the accumulation of money, if you spend it in the accumulation of joy, fun, and games, now that tells you how precious or not very precious your life is to you. There are people who live for fun and games. They wake up every day and they look forward to surfing. They look forward to their games of tennis or golf or football or whatever it is. They wake up, they find a thrill sitting in front of a computer playing computer games. And this gives them a thrill, a joy. And that's how they spend their second, their minutes, their hours a day. And before you know it, that day is gone, a week is gone, a month is gone. And then you ask yourself, what have I accumulated? What have I achieved that I will consider as my treasure? Because what you spend and try to get in return will determine what you consider as riches, precious treasure to you. Very simple. This is common sense. And here we have in this incident, thrust in the middle of this chapter of the Gospel of Luke. One of the company said unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. What was the problem? Is there any problem with dividing an inheritance? Not a problem. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what lawyers do. They help people to write their will so that if anything happens to this person, whatever inheritance he has left behind, the people that he has put into the will receive how he has decided to divide his inheritance among his remaining living relatives. It's not a sinful task. It's harmless. But when you look at this particular request that this man asked the Lord Jesus Christ, that became a problem. Why was it a problem? Verses 1 to 12 of this chapter. What did Jesus Christ just told the multitude, the people who were there? And this man was one of the company. He was one of them. So he heard what Jesus Christ said in the first 12 verses. Jesus Christ warned everyone to be careful of the leaven, the teaching of the Pharisees. Jesus called them hypocrites. Their teachings are characterized by one word, hypocrisy. Be very careful. Don't be afraid of the person who can kill your body. Be very, very concerned with the person who can destroy both your body and your soul. That person you be afraid of. He can cast you into hell. That's God, of course. Jesus Christ had just told the multitude, including this man, this person, who just asked Jesus Christ, be my arbitrator with my brother because he had taken the inheritance. Talk to him so that he can give me a portion. Jesus Christ came to save us from sin, from death, and from hell. And all this person could think of listening to the words of Christ was the inheritance that his brother had taken, in his opinion, probably more than him. Or even nothing. He got nothing. The brother got everything. But what occupied his mind was the inheritance. That was the problem. And so Jesus Christ, after this incident with the parable, in verse 22 onwards, Jesus Christ stated again something very similar to the Sermon on the Mount concerning our body is more than just raiment, meat, the birds, the ravens, they never sow, they never did anything. Your heavenly Father feeds them and so on. That is the problem. We live on this earth very much concerned with the material world that we live in. And it is understandable because this mortal body that God has given to us came out of this earth. That's how God created Adam. God took the earth, formed Adam, breathed into him, and he had life, and he stood up as a grown man on the sixth day of creation. And because this body came out of the material of this earth, it is natural and logical that this body will also have to depend upon what comes out of this earth, which we call food and clothing, to survive. Without garments, in winter, you can freeze to death. Without food, without drink, you can die of hunger and thirst. And therefore, this body has this dependence upon the material things that come out of this earth for survival. And because of this need that we now have, we are attracted, we are very dependent upon this world. And so the world out there call this Mother Earth. And so they are doing a lot of things to protect Mother Earth. Now these are unbelievers. They do not know better. They think that this world came into its existence by itself. They don't believe there is a God who created this world as our home for us to live in. They do not believe that we are made in God's image for us to dwell in. And this earth is given by our Creator, who is not supposed to hurt us. This is our home. Why would our Creator, our God, wants to create a world that is full of danger and traps that will destroy us, which we call natural disasters? We take God out of the equation. The volcanic eruption, the earthquake, the tsunami, the cyclone, and all these so-called natural disasters, they are destroying mankind. That was not the case when God created this world. God made us out of the material of this earth, and this earth is supposed to be our home. It's supposed to be very safe. It's because of sin. It's because of transgression of man that this earth has become such a dangerous world for us to live in. And so this man, after what Jesus Christ had said, that was all spiritual, but his mind was absorbed and had only one thought: carnal. God wants us to know, by recording this incident in the scriptures, to let us know, true riches can never come out of this earth. Anything that is of this earth will not be considered as true riches, for the simple reason is it will decay. We are surrounded by this scientific fact, the second law of thermodynamics. Your brand new phone will grow old and become something that is worthless, that you will just throw into one side and discard. Your brand new vehicle, your brand new house after 30, 40 years will need a brand new renovation. We are surrounded by evidence that the things of this earth can never be considered as true riches. And that's why it is so tragic and so sad that even though we are surrounded by such evidence that everything that is made by man that is first brand new will soon become old and decay and fall apart, no exception. Even though we know this in our own heart of hearts, and you don't have to be a believer to know this because it's experiential knowledge. Unbelievers hold a brand new phone in his hand, and within a short period of time, he will discard it and he will replace it with something else. And if he wants to sell it, he may have paid $1,000 for it, and within a year or two, he will simply discard it, and if somebody were to offer him $50, he will accept it. It has dropped from $1,000 when you first purchased it, and now it is worth less than 10%, and you just simply accept it, and you'll probably walk away with a grin. It's worthless to me. At least I got $50 for it. That is an evidence to tell us, how can there be true riches? Because it has depreciated so much in value. in inverted commas, value. And it is tragic because we are spending our minutes, our hours, our days, accumulating more and more of this earthly decaying stuff. And we think that the more I accumulate, the richer I am. And so you have people working 8, 9, 10 hours out there. Like this man, his mind is occupied and consumed by material things, inheritance. Was he thinking about something that is beyond this? Not. Please talk to my brother. Be our arbitrator, Lord. Help us settle this inheritance issue. Jesus Christ came to give us true riches. He is not here to give us the riches in inverted commas that are defined by the world, that are made out of the material things of this earth, or your homes, or your diamonds, your gold, your watches, and all things that you think are very, very valuable. They are in reality now different from the refuse that you throw into the dustbin and into the refuse chute, which in turn will be carried into the furnace to be burnt up. No difference. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of time. Everything that you own will decay. And we are spending our life, our precious minutes and hours and days, accumulating things that are actually in reality worthless. And the world has been lying to us, bombarding us with all kinds of news from the internet, in the newspaper, in magazines, that this is life. Accumulation of more and more material things equals success, equal riches, equal life. That is the big fat lie of Satan. But he is the god of this world. And therefore, you ask yourself, is this all you have in life? Your bank account? Your houses? A house here, a house there? You may be set for life with your multi-million dollars, and now you have your insurance, you have everything all set up, so that even if you live another 100 years, you're all set up for life to maintain and improve your present standard of living. You live in your big bungalows, have your own lap pool, have your own, perhaps, basement, bowling alley. Whatever you can imagine concerning luxury, you don't have to worry about queuing up like all those who fly economy. You can even charter the whole plane if you so choose to do so. For you, it's always first class, if not better than first class. And you think that is life. All set up, and then you walk around strutting like a peacock with all your feathers open for everybody to see. You look at these people, they queue up for economy. You look, you tell your children, you see, we live in first class conditions. We just walk through and people just open the gate and we just walk in. You look at these people, look at who we are. You think that is life? That is riches? That's what this man thought too. And that's why he asked Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was on the Father's business. And the Father's business is always spiritual, not carnal of this earth. For Jesus was not of this earth. He came down from heaven. He took on the form of a man because he wants to save man. And the only way to save man is to be man. And that's why he became a man just like us from infancy to adulthood, exactly like us, but without sin. Perfect. To die on the cross for you and for me. And all this man cared about was, help us divide my father's inheritance. He had just died and my brother has taken my inheritance. Please be our judge. How sad. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for material wealth? You believe in Jesus Christ for brick and mortar, for gold, for silver, for precious stones, so that you can be healthy and wealthy? That is another lie of the devil. The only difference is the lie of the devil from the world is not Christianized, is not cloaked in the garment of Christianity. But that is cloaked in the garment of Christianity, and therefore it makes it even more deadly and dangerous. At least the world tells you, we are not Christians. We define riches as material, and it is always material. You choose to believe or not, it's up to you. But that's how we determine the rich people in our world. We put them on Forbes list. The multi-billionaires, how many billions are there in this country? You look at their fleet of airplanes, their helicopters and their ships. Look at the size of their amazing palace that they lived in. Look at how opulent their lifestyle is with all these expensive garments, expensive things, expensive stuff. They never call themselves Christians. At least they are honest. If they want to deceive you, this is the world, you think this is it? Well, you join us. You can have a piece of the pie. You can call yourself whatever you want. But this is what we are offering you. But then when we have so-called pastors and Christian leaders telling their own followers, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be healthy and wealthy. Jesus Christ said to this man, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Don't you know why I am here? Why do you want me to be a divider of these material things? These are worthless. And so Jesus Christ said to him, and to everyone who is nearby, them, plural, take heed, beware and be warned. Be on guard, for covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Memorize this verse. Take heed. Open your eyes. Beware. That means be on guard, literally. Be on guard against the messages of the world and the messages of wolves in sheep's clothing calling themselves pastors. Beware of their messages of covetousness. They are telling you that covetousness is good, is acceptable, because that's why Jesus Christ came to die for. That is a big fat lie. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So do not measure yourself by the size of your bank account, and don't measure yourself by dollars and cents at all. Not at all. Because that is not what life is. There is no true riches out of this earth. And the true measure of true riches is not based upon the accumulation of how much real estate, how much of so-called gold, silver, precious stones, stocks and shares that you have in your bank account or in whatever place you want to store it. That is not the measure of riches in the life of a human being. For the simple reason is, naked you came into this world, and naked you will leave this world. You cannot take anything with you. Measure riches that are eternal. That is true riches. Measure riches that will not fluctuate. Today is worth so much, tomorrow it is half the price. Our currency is not true riches, because if it is true, it will not keep on fluctuating. It should be constant, because true riches is inherently always very, very full of worth. Inherently, it does not fluctuate in comparison to something else. Everything that we have on this earth, its value is dependent upon someone or something else. If nobody wants it, it's worthless. You look at a piece of painting. Why would people pay millions of dollars? Actually, millions of dollars is also worthless because it's just pieces of paper. For a piece of painting by a dead person, the amount of paint he used may be less than $5. Or he may paint it very beautifully, very nicely, the mixture of his color, stupendous. The board that he painted on may be another couple of dollars, and all in all, less than $10. The fact that he is dead, what does that mean? Well, he's dead, probably he cannot produce anymore, and it's not too bad. And because there are a lot of people want it, if nobody wants it, if you are the only one who wants it, he'll probably charge you $10. He makes $3, right? That's it. But because there are a lot of people who wanted it, this person wants to pay $1,000, this person wants to pay $50,000, this person wants to pay $1 million, this person's pay $40 million, and that's why the thing goes up. If nobody wants it, it's worthless. So where is the inherent value in the piece of art? Zero. Zero. And everything that we have is like that. Isn't that true? That's how you measure true riches. It is not of this earth. And therefore, anything that is of this earth that you think is very valuable, in reality, you have been duped. And if you walk around full of confidence because you have amassed for yourself a great abundance of money in the bank, when you go to the bank, people open the way for you like Moses opened the Red Sea. Special treatment because you are a very, very, very special client because you put in so much money in our bank. And so you feel great, you feel good, and you think you're very rich because everybody around you who knows of your money will have this idea and they walk around you on tiptoe because, wow, a rich person is around. And it goes to your head. And the danger is you think you're really rich when in reality, how did Jesus Christ describe this man in the parable? Verse 20. Would you mind if I call you what Jesus Christ said in verse 20? God said to him what? Thou fool. You know, this word fool is not the word moron. In other instances, that is the word that is used, moron. This one is worse. This fool is stupid. Stupid. It's worse than moron. He's really stupid. Because that's exactly who we are and what we are. If you call yourself a Christian, if you truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior who died on the cross for your sin, and what Jesus Christ had to endure coming down from heaven, the great sacrifice that he had to pay to walk on this earth, to rub shoulders in the midst of all kinds of sinners, and so many of them tried to find fault with him, to trap him and to ensnare him, to get him into trouble and then to kill him. And he knows that one day he will be betrayed by one of his own disciples. No matter how much he loved Judas, Judas will turn around and betray him. And then they will arrest him and they're going to humiliate him. And then they're going to crucify him. And while he hung on the cross, even his own heavenly Father will forsake him. And he did all these things because of your sins and my sins. And then now that you say Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and God has accepted what he has done for you by raising Jesus Christ as an accepted sacrifice for you, as a stamp of approval that if you truly believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior who died for you in your place, I will save you. I will forgive you and take away all your sins. And if this is truly your experience, and then you think now that you are a Christian, my life is now measured by the abundance of the things which I possess. Either you're really, really deceived, or you're really, really a fool, stupid. Because you're surrounded by evidence. If you're born again, you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God in your heart. And you know, therefore, all the things that are of this earth will soon be destroyed. There is nothing that this earth can offer you that can be measured in terms of true riches, because you are going to heaven. And everything that you have on this earth is going to be left behind. It's only what you do for Jesus Christ that will follow you to heaven when you are taken home by your heavenly Father. Please understand, when we say that there are nothing on this earth that is of this earth that can be considered as true riches, it does not mean that while we are on this earth, we cannot possess true riches. The reality of what Jesus Christ said is that if it is of this earth, it is not true riches. It does not mean that while we are on this earth, we cannot accumulate true riches. We can, because if we can't, then we are all finished. If we cannot accumulate true riches on earth, and all we can do is to accumulate false riches, which Jesus Christ made it abundantly clear that our life must never be measured by the abundance of what we possess that is held in our hands. So can we accumulate true riches on earth even as we repudiate, push away all these false riches, things that we can handle and touch by the five senses? These are all false riches. And don't you allow the world to deceive you, and don't you allow any false pastors and false preachers to tell you otherwise. And so Jesus gave us this parable. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. My old harvest still around. All my barns are still full from last year's harvest. And now my new year's harvest also full, plentifully. Great harvest, abundance, not enough room. So what shall I do? Obviously, common sense will tell you, I will now have to pull down my old barns and build bigger ones, so that there is more room for more of my plentiful harvest. And there will I bestow and place all my fruits and my goods. And then I will say to my own soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry, relax. You have worked so hard for the past 20, 30, 40 years of your life, and you have been so wise in accumulating for yourself all the money you need in your bank and in all the stocks and shares, and you have been so clever. All your life is now set. You can retire at the age of 45, and if you can live another 30, 40 years, you have more than enough to live the same standard, if not better, with all that you have amassed, just like this rich man. Plan. That's the Singaporean mentality, right? Plan. And with all these savings, we can eat, drink, and be merry. And with all the peace in our mind, in our heart, we smile, we walk around full of confidence, because I have accomplished what so many have not yet done and are still working very hard. I can retire at this early age and I can now enjoy life. I can travel the world, fly first class and go anywhere I like without a second thought, because I have accumulated for myself more than enough funds for myself and my whole family to travel around the world as many times as we like and eat anywhere and spend any amount of money, more than enough. Very happy. But one thing he forgot. One thing this rich man forgot. And perhaps you might also forget too. And so God said to him, verse 20, thou fool, this night, this very night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, you may be able to control what you own in your banks and in whatever place you have put your money in your name. But one thing you cannot control, and that one thing is the most important thing in your life, and that is how long you have on this earth. That's not in your hand. You can be very, very healthy one moment, and the next moment you go onto the pitch. You can be a professional soccer player, one of the most healthy people in your nation, and on that particular day, less than half an hour after you enter into the pitch, while you are running and chasing that ball, you can just collapse and die. How many times that has happened? Super fit athletes. Never expected them to just go out there, drop dead and die, and many did. Don't we ever learn? Is your time here on earth in your hands? You and I can't even control what will happen in the next hour, the next minute. It's in God's hands. And if you think that your life is continued to be measured by the abundance of what you possess, what you hold in your hand, Jesus is now telling you, don't be a fool. Stop it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. and you will be saved. We are born in sin. All of us, no exception. And as we grow older, we commit more sins added to the original sin that we possess. And we all are covered in sin. And the Bible tells us when we die in sin, we end up in hell. No exception. Doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. Every good deed you have done, stained by this pair of sinful hands, have already been disqualified by God as acceptable to Him, and He called them filthy rags. So what can you do on this earth that can stop you from dying and ending up in hell? Nothing. Your money can just make you and give you a comfortable death. That's it. But you will still die in sin and end up in hell. And because your time here on earth is so precious, and while you're still alive, you can do something about it and stop being fooled by the world and stop accumulating and measuring yourself by the abundance of what you have in your hands, in your bank account, and in your name. And start to think about something that is eternal. And the only way that you can be eternal is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And your question is why? Because He came down for one purpose only, and that is to die for you. To die on the cross for your sins as your Savior. The one who will take the penalty that God demands from every sinner. Because you sin against me, I will have to punish you. But I will spare you. You can find someone to take your place. And Jesus Christ is the only someone who can take your place, because He is the only perfect man on earth. And because He's fully God and fully man and perfect all the way, all the days of His life, all the way until He goes to the cross. And He died, the perfect Son of God and the Son of Man, on the cross for your sins. He took the punishment for you, in other words. But if you reject this love of God, when God said to you, I have accepted what He has done for you, will you accept Him? Will you accept what Jesus Christ has done for you, because I have accepted Him? When I raise Him from the dead for your justification, if you reject my love, God says, if you reject Jesus Christ, then you will have to pay for your own sin. And the payment is you spend eternity in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. That is how God treats your sins and my sins. The sins that we inherited from Adam and the sins that we all continue to commit in our mind and in our hearts and in our lips and in our hands. God knows. And only Jesus Christ can deliver us. And as long as you are in sin, there is nothing you can do on this earth that will constitute eternal true riches. Only after you are born again in Christ, where when you die in Christ, no more in sin, you will go to heaven straight away. And Jesus tells us all your good works that you have done for Jesus Christ's sake will follow you into heaven, and that is how we store true riches in heaven, by living for Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. By going out and tell people about Christ, by living a holy life, by using the gift that God has blessed you with to help others to become better believers by serving Him. Now, these are the true riches that are not measured by dollars and cents, by what you can hold tangibly in your head. They are intangible, they are invisible, they are eternal. And that are the true riches that God has charged all His children. That's what you must accumulate and store after. By serving Him. Study God's Word. Read God's Word so that your life is patterned after God's Word. So that everywhere you go, your life is an image and a reflection of Jesus Christ. When people look at you, they will truly see Christ. That is true riches. And that's what God wants of all His children. And if you are not a believer, and if you think that your life continues to be measured by the abundance of what you possess, then remember what Jesus Christ is telling you. Not us. Your Creator. And why is He telling you this? He's telling you this because He loves you. He's telling you this because while you're still breathing and still alive, you don't have to die in your sin. You can still turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and as Savior, and He will forgive you of all your sins when you repent and turn to Him in true repentance. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you and rose from the dead for your justification, you will surely be saved. That's God's promise. But if you don't, and you walk out of here still thinking that you are very rich because you have so much in your name, then you are a fool. Don't be a fool, because your life on earth is precious. You have already wasted enough. How old are you? 30, 40, 50? Those years are gone for good, and what you have accumulated will be destroyed by fire. You can't take with it. But if you are a believer and truly accept Christ as Lord and Savior, whatever time you have left on this earth, you can now spend it to accumulate true riches for Jesus' sake. We don't serve for true riches. We serve because of the love of Christ. But God tells us that whatever you do, constrained by the love of Christ, according to the scriptures, you will not lose your reward. We don't serve for it. We are not motivated by it. But God tells us, I will give it to you because God loves us. God is a very magnanimous, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father. We are constrained by the love of Christ when we serve. We don't serve for riches. Please understand this. But God says, I will still give it to you because that's who I am. That's how wonderful God is. And that's why it is a shame that when truly born-again believers are behaving more and more like unbelievers, because they think that true riches are measured by the abundance of what they can hold in their hands. When Jesus already stated so clearly, do not measure it in that manner. You are my disciples. You are the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Do you not see? Do you not know? Turn your life around and come back to the narrow way, the path of righteousness that Jesus Christ has set for all of us. Because He came to die for you, to save you, you are going to heaven as children of the living God. Stop accumulating material things. Stop wasting your life and your time accumulating material things. Don't be motivated by promotion and by bonuses. Stop it. And let the love of Christ be our motive for service and for living. And that's what true riches means to all who are God's children. And so Jesus concludes, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God wants us to be rich toward him, not toward self, not toward the world. Don't care what the world says. Do not bother whether the world thinks you are rich or not. They don't matter. But what matters is, does your Heavenly Father know that you are rich toward him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? He wants you to be rich toward him. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and help us to realize that there is nothing that is of this earth that constitutes true riches, for it is never measured by the abundance of what we possess in our hands, but it is always measured by thee and thee alone, things that are eternal, things that will last forever and ever. And those things are only done for the sake of Jesus Christ, constrained by the love of God. And we thank thee, Father, that in Christ Jesus, as your children, we are able to store up true riches for Jesus' sake. Help us, therefore, not to waste any more second or minute living for the world, but help us always with the remaining time that we have on this earth to live only for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that everywhere we go, by our good works and by what we speak and say and do, may our friends and family members around us see only Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O Lord, as your children. We pray, Father, also for someone in our midst who may not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, or who may have been deceived into thinking that to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will make me healthy and wealthy on this earth. May thou be merciful to open this person's eyes, that this person may come to accept Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for his sins and for his sins only, so that he may truly know him as Lord and as Savior, that he may begin to understand what it means to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may begin to be constrained by his love, to serve thee with joy and with gladness, and his journey of accumulating true riches may begin. O Lord, may thou be merciful to use the word of God and by the power of thy Holy Spirit to bring conviction to every soul, every worshipper, that we may depart knowing that we know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, and constrained by his love, we will live only for him and for his glory. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.